Hi, this is Hannah Fearman, and I'm on Creepy Crap Podcast, Australia's favorite horror podcast.
This program is intended for mature audiences. Parental discretion is advised.
Like, he's there, but he's bad and he's evil and everything else, but he's still good.
That dingo's got my baby!
Oh, I can tell you, then I'd have to kill you.
We all enjoy our veggie pie for breakfast, lunch, and tea.
You've just tuned into the Creepy Crap Podcast, the Australian horror podcast hosted by Daniel Craig. So it's time to pour yourself a glass of rainwater from the top end, grab a few shrimp off the barbie, and let's start the show. Welcome, Creepy Crapsters, to the Creepy Crap Podcast, Australia's favourite horror podcast with your host, Daniel Craig. This is guest episode number 7 of season 2, and today we've got Hannah Fearman. You may know her from such movies as VHS, American Hell, Siren, Evil Little Things, San Agatha, The Secret Garden, or FM episodes of The Toast of London, Vampire Diaries, and even Dynasty. That's Hannah Fearman, and stay tuned after the interview because we've got an amazing track from DK Zero, a magical track that will make you cream your shorts, so stay tuned. That's coming straight after that. So let's not waste any more time and let's start the chat with Hannah Fearman. Here we go. Hope you enjoy. Hannah Fearman, welcome to the Creepy Crap Podcast, Australia's favorite horror podcast. Thank you so much for coming on. How are you today?
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm super good.
When was the moment when you were like, I want to be an actress? When did that happen for you?
I've been acting since I was 3. I think it was probably the first time I saw like any really glamorous person on television. It was probably around that time when I was just like, that.
Have you been in like ads and movies and stuff as a child as well?
I did my first feature film when I was 17. So not really a child, but I was in plays and plays for school and children's theater when I was a kid.
Where did you grow up? Like you've always stayed in the same place? Or did you have to move somewhere for acting?
Well, I did it in my adult life. I was born in the UK in England, but we moved to the States when I was 3. And I grew up in Rockmart, Georgia, which is this tiny redneck town in the... in the sticks, in the hills of the Appalachian Mountains. Yeah, and then I moved to New York for about around 5 years, and now I'm back in Georgia, but I'm in Atlanta now.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's what I was confused about, because when I was looking up all the stuff about you, it said something about the UK, but then I'm like, this can't be the right person or something like that, because I was like, you don't seem to have the English accent in anything. And
I got rid of my accent on purpose, actually. In first grade, I got teased so much that, that I got rid of it on purpose. So I would speak one way at home and one way at school. And eventually the English just went away. I have had British accents in several of the projects that I've done.
I haven't got to watch all of them, sorry. We have such a limited amount of stuff we can watch over here sometimes. I got a good chunk of your movies down though, so that was good. I've been watching you for most of the week.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry I didn't get to see everything. It's a shame.
Well, I don't know if you guys have Toast of London on Netflix, but I did 2 British accents on that show. I got to play a Cockney. I played English Rose, like a regular English Rose girl, you know, with a stereotypical Oxford type accent.
Yeah.
But this is a comedy show, but she had
Matt Berry. Is that right?
Yeah.
I saw it. I haven't got to see it. We don't have it here.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, it's on Netflix here. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. No, I was going to ask, what's it like working with him? He's hilarious. I've seen him we have other stuff. Like he's in like Mighty Boosh and you know what we do in the shadows, like IT Crowd. He's in all that sort of stuff. Is he a percent funny as he is on film behind the screen and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, he's funny. He's not at all like any of the characters that he plays.
Oh,
he's actually like really quiet and really chill, really quiet, not loud and in your face like he is with so many of his characters. He's great to work with. He's hilarious. Yeah, we've actually stayed friends since then.
And did you hopefully play his niece on that? I could find out about the things. I just couldn't watch it. It's a honeysuckle and you were his niece in season 2 or something like that. But I was just like, I can't watch this. So shit.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, hopefully you will eventually because the whole season's fantastic.
Anything with him in that and the fact that you're in it made it even better. So what, like you changed accents and that? Was that kind of like a My Fair Lady type deal? Or
so my character, Honeysuckle, has an allergy that manifests itself as a possession. They have to call in a homeopath, which is an exorcist, I guess.
Cool.
My allergies have to be exorcised, and that was done by Alan Ford. He's the guy that feeds people to the pigs, you know, and like I think that was Snatch.
Yeah,
he's amazing. I was so scared of him.
Don't feed a pig for a couple days; I will eat anything. That was a horror accent.
So
No, it was him.
The nicest guys. We had such a lovely time doing that show.
Does he wear the glasses in that, or is that like, that's just a character thing? That's heaps cool. So you had to go to England for that as well?
Yeah, that was fun.
So what is it mainly, like most of your movies, like not 100% of them are horror movies. What has drawn you towards the horror movie genre?
Well, they just really embraced me. I didn't have anything to do with it. I had a lot of my friends are horror filmmakers, and I just really love working with my friends. Even if it's not particularly content that I was originally attracted to, I still really wanted to do it. Plus, I think you can be more creative in the horror genre, when, especially in particular with indies, because the horror fans don't care if it, you know, high budget, low budget, if there's a star in it or not. As long as they're frightened and entertained, that's all they need. So you can be as creative as you want. And that was probably the thing that drew me most to it.
Well, that leads to my next question. With American Hell, I did get to watch that one of your short films, 8 minutes of pure enjoyment. How do you summon yourself? How do you get in a character for someone like that? It seems like essentially someone who's just massacred a hotel, I think it is, for just no particular reason, I guess.
Yeah, it was sort of criticism on people not being neighborly, I think, like not helping each other. Oh, yeah.
Because the first guy cops that, doesn't it? It's like she goes in there, is like, you could hear him needed help and you didn't do anything. Like, you're a teacher then. Is that what that character was?
Yeah, I think she wants to stir up chaos, and she's not necessarily mad at humanity for being atrocious. She's just, you know, pointing it out and bringing out the worst in people, just like, you know, demons are supposed to do, right?
Yeah, she's a denim wearing demon then.
And it's a denim wearing demon? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually was kind of like, I'm really nice, but I was so into character on that set, and it was kind of a stressful shoot because there was a lot of personalities on that shoot. It actually started influencing me, and I was actually kind of mean a little bit.
Method acting.
Afterward, I'd be like, dude, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I have that.
I spit on you. I'm so sorry.
I was just like, dude, you're really being annoying. I would not to anybody, even if they were being annoying, but I don't know. I got too much into character, and I was just.
You're Daniel Day-Lewising it. Can actors do that? Can they just like say their method if they're doing something bad? If they've got a bad character and then they start doing something bad on set, can they be like, oh, I'm in character. That's why I showed up drunk.
That's why I'm weird.
Is that an actor's thing? Is that like the get out of jail free card if you can just say you're like in character?
Yeah, but you might not get hired again.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Comes at a price. You were in one episode of The Vampire Diaries, season 3, you were in the like a flashback scenes. What was it like being on that particular episode, because it was like kind of a period piece? Like, did you have fun on there? Was that cool?
It was really fun. It was really fast paced, but it was really fun. Everybody was really, really nice. I got to work with two of their main actors, and but the best part was the costume. And they also had this like big old hairpiece on me. That was crazy. It just looked so cool. Yeah. They really got into that. They actually, like, the undergarments were legit period too.
Oh wow, they're like accurate.
Full on. Even the sort of like corset type deal and everything, because it gives you a different posture and makes you breathe differently. And it really got you into character. You know, you're just like, oh, this is how it feels to be a woman in 1912.
Yeah, a little taste of back then. Secondary question for that. Like you said, you got to work with the brothers and all that sort of stuff. And Stefan, there's like a vampire scene I have not seen in like any other sort of movie where he went so hard on your neck, your head fell off. I was like, I don't think I've seen that in anything else. And there's like a million vampire movies. What was it like filming that scene if you were in it at all? And did you get to keep the head?
I did not get to keep the head. Yeah, I was in that scene. You know, I got to work with two really ridiculously attractive, good actors. Yeah, and it was pretty gross, right? He was just real hungry, I guess.
He was the Ripper or whatever back then. Like, he has this like, because the modern day version of him in that show, as you would probably know, is like, he's so like calm and nice and no, new blood. He's so vicious as well. He's just holding back so hard. And like, you were a nice glimpse of one of those like moments where he doesn't hold back.
Yeah.
It's like, Damon, no. And then he's like, rah, and it's like, well, you're a psycho, not me.
You don't see it coming. I agree. It was a good episode. It's just unfortunate I couldn't be reoccurring after being decapitated.
Yeah, they'd have to expand before that sort of thing, because you're only kind of, dude, be a gossip.
So my head back on, I don't know.
I've watched, like I said, as many as the ones I can watch. I've watched a lot of your stuff through the week. And like, Child's Play and Leprechaun could kind of put a movie together. That would be Evil Little Things. The leprechaun doll come into life. What is it like being in a doll come to life sort of movie? Is it fun to act in that, or is it weird? Or
it feels real stupid. I gotta feel really dumb. But I had a lot of fun on that shoot. Like, everybody was incredibly nice. I was really well taken care of, and I had a blast. I made so many friends on that movie. Yeah, that's all I have to say.
I just imagine it's you holding a doll going, bah! Like, get off me. You do Irish accent in that as well at some point.
Oh, yeah, I did. I forgot about that. I actually, like, found an Irish filmmaker to find me an actress in Ireland to read me those lines and send me MP3s, and I just listened to them over and over and over again, because I do not find that accent intuitive at all.
You can't just pick it up?
I mean, some people can. It's just not one of the ones that I can do. I'm glad you noticed that it was Irish and not...
Oh, yeah. No, it was clearly that. It was fun. It was a fun little movie. It was just kind of... I know it seems like that's what I ask every time, but did you get to keep one of the little leprechaun dolls? Did they give them away at the end?
I didn't want to. No.
On the off chance it does come to life.
Just, it was so ugly. I don't actually, I mean, I keep my wardrobe a lot of the time, but really that's like the only thing I usually keep, unless they give me posters and things like that. But I don't usually hold on to any of the stuff. And
okay, yeah, you're not just a collector relic from each thing.
Yeah, no, I don't. I actually just got rid of all my posters. I gave them to my buddy's post-production house because it made sense for movie posters to be in there, but I don't want posters of myself in my home. I don't want them up. I'm not going to want to be looking at them. So I gave them to him, and they're really fitting there. They look good. I also just sold the rest of my posters at an Indiegogo to raise money for a feature that I'm doing in January. Yeah.
Did you get the money?
Yeah, they raised quite a bit of money. And I mean, I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to miss them. I sold my dress from VHS to raise money for that movie too. And it sold for $750, which I was like, cool.
More than that.
No, I was shocked that anybody.
Oh, okay. The other way.
The dress is hideous. I was just like, oh yeah, you want, okay.
Is that one of your most iconic roles as well? It was like VHS, that sort of thing. That, do you get asked all the time to say the line from there? Like the, I like you. Do people ask you to say that all the time?
All the time.
Oh, it must be annoying.
I don't, but.
No, I was going to ask.
They ask me. I think more of the time, they just really get a kick out of coming up to me and being like, I like you. But I just did it, didn't I? And I'm just like, well, I'm just.
I didn't mean to coax that out of you.
You did it.
You did it.
No. I'm just grateful that it's such a positive thing to say to me, since I hear it so much. Like, it would really suck.
Yeah, it's nice line, I guess. It wasn't like you said something like completely like fucked up and you're just like, oh, I regret saying that. I don't want to keep hearing it forever.
Yeah. Exactly. So at least there's that.
I didn't realize this till I was watching it, till a good chunk of the way through the movie, that Siren was kind of like the follow-up of that character, I guess. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was the spin-off.
Oh, okay. Yeah, spin-off movie. Because I was watching that yesterday. Like, I was like staying up late because I'm like, oh yes, I finally found a copy of it. And it was cool. It was like a bachelor party movie, sort of like The Hangover versus like a horror movie. And then you were the Siren. And I was like, oh. And I'm like, oh, that she looks similar again. And then when you came up and you had the little line down your head, I'm like, are they just like typecasting her now? And then I realized it was actually that thing. Because nothing about it says, oh, after her success broke free in VHS, now she's tied up in here. And then, oh, is that what you were? So is that what the creature is in that?
She's a succubus. She's in VHS, she's a succubus. But
oh,
I guess a siren and a sucker are just so similar. I don't.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I just didn't know what the creature was at all. It seemed like it was like luring guys in sort of thing. But and then you can fly. And I was like, what is this creature? Because I guess you see more than like a bat or a dragon or I don't know. I didn't know what it was. So a succubus, that's cool.
Yeah.
Go straight to the source for the answer there.
Yeah. They probably should have just called it succubus because there's so many sirens out there.
Yeah. Because I always thought a siren, in my like brief knowledge of what they were, I thought they were kind of a mermaid, I guess. Essentially, it was how mermaids have like evil mermaids or whatever. And they sort of sit on rocks and like, and then like they lure people in and get attacked and all that sort of stuff. Did you do the singing in that?
Yeah, I did. Voice? Yeah.
It was. Oh, wow.
I recorded that. Yeah. There's several different types of sirens. And I think like it's more of the Greek myth siren has the wings. They're half bird. Right. And I don't know where they got that tail from.
It was cool to kill people at least.
It was like pointy, kind of like a, almost like a scorpion. Actually, the concept was originally for it to be like sort of like a penis.
For real? That would be fun.
It ended up looking a little more like a scorpion tail.
That's good. Yeah, because it goes through the head at one point and it doesn't come out with like a knob or anything at the end. What? She has a dick tail?
That's what it was originally supposed to be. And I was just like, that's going to look stupid, but okay.
Yeah, that'd be such a creepier twist when like they zoom in and you're like, what the hell is that? Like, do you wear a suit for those movies or do you literally have to not wear clothes for virtually most of those movies?
Yeah, I literally just didn't wear anything. Well, I mean, I would have a thong on some of the time, especially when, or like boy shorts on that were nude for like the very physical scenes. Yeah, some of the time, actually quite a bit of the time, me and my stunt doubles were nude. I think that, with Siren, we had pasties because it was, in Siren, there isn't actually any nudity.
Yeah, there's only a few butts and mainly of guys.
It's like digitally blurred or there's a shadow or my hair was real long and always down in front of me and I was always covered in blood anyway. And it was like really thick paint. So it was almost like, it's almost like wearing a thick paint suit.
Physically trained for all those things? Like how much of the stunts was you at all? Like, do you have to do any of those sort of jumping or climbing scenes?
I would do some of them. I don't do anything dangerous. I'm not that actress. I'm not like, no, I want to do stunts. No, I don't want to see. Stunt 100% people are, they're amazing. Just let them make me look amazing. In VHS, my stunt double and my stunt coordinator was Elizabeth Davidovich. And she had on like this full body nude suit. And she is a contortionist. So when my character's leg goes up over her head and covers the actor's mouth with her foot.
Yeah.
I'm not that flexible. She's amazing. Yeah. But no, I didn't train for either of them. I actually only got like, I don't know, like 8 weeks. I don't even think it was 8 weeks. I can't remember. It was somebody silly noticed that I was actually even going to do the movie Siren at all. So I didn't have time. But with VHS, we had a lot more rehearsal and, you know, planned it out a lot more. We're a little more thorough with the short.
Do you find that you're pretty much the most iconic character from that entire franchise?
I do.
Is that a nice little claim to fame?
It is.
It's always you with that sort of like zipper head, split face.
Yeah, I like they used the image from our segment for all of their promotion for the first VHS. And so I was in like, there was a picture of me in Rolling Stone and a picture of me, you know, in all these iconic magazines. And it was really fun. It was really fun for me.
I'm the face of everything. Is that the end of that character or do we get to see more of the succubus? Is it Lily? Is that her name as well?
Yeah, it's Lily. I don't know. I everybody asked me that and there hasn't been any talk about it in any kind of professional capacity. It would probably go over well if we did another one and expanded her world a little further. See what circle of hell she's from.
Horror fans love sequels. I was so surprised. Like I said, when I just didn't realize that movie was connected at all. So that was a nice surprise. I was just thinking it was like another separate place where you get lured in here, all the guys have their bachelor party. Yeah, you want to come here? Yeah, give us your mum dreams and all this sort of stuff. And then it's just like, you get attacked, but then it's just kind of like backfires anyway. Is she keeping the guys each time as well?
That's what I had in my mind. Like she would take the guy back to her lair and keep him.
And just be like, all right, you're mine till I'm sick of you and then I'll find another one at some point.
Yeah, and then maybe I'll eat you or something. This giant nest, like on the side of a cliff where they have no, like an eagle keeps
them
there.
It's just too big. The guys can't climb out. They're just sitting in there like, feed me.
Yeah.
Do you have much else going on at the moment with the COVID? You were just saying there's something possibly coming out. What's the next Hannah Fearman movie coming up?
Okay. I just shot this movie a couple months ago called On Location. And that one is going to, I think horror fans are going to really love that because it's just chock full of Easter eggs. It's a horror movie. It's, I guess you'd call it a horror thriller type. And I just shot an episode of Creepshow.
Ooh.
That'll probably come out sooner than On Location will. And it was a lot of fun. I got to work with Greg Nicotero. Creepshow. It's just an excellent
the tool. Name itself just has so much weight behind it.
I said Creepshow, right? I didn't say Freakshow.
No, you said Creepshow.
Okay, good. I was like,
yeah, oh wait, no, I'm not on Creepshow.
I will be. It was a really great episode. So when you get a chance to watch that, I think
do have that here. I think there's what, like two seasons and now there was like a kind of an animated special.
But
you guys are probably ahead of me there.
Okay, so there was the original Creepshow and
in the movies.
And then these are television anthology programs where there's like it's kind of like
on Shudder.
Yeah, it's on Shudder. Yes, exactly. The one that I shot is in the second season. Yeah. And I think it's AMC too. I'm not really sure, but definitely on Shudder. And so that'll be really cool. In January, I'm doing a slasher up in Portland, Maine. I'm shooting that in late December, January. So that'll be super fun. I'm working with a whole bunch of my buddies, which is my favorite thing. A lot of the same actors like Damien Maffei and Elsie Holt and Chaney Morrow and Kate Kiddo as well. These are all actors that were in the movie On Location and will also be in the movie Time's Up, which is the one in January. Sorry.
I didn't want to interrupt. I was just like, keep going.
Could keep rambling.
There's so much coming out then. So COVID didn't really hold you back too much, or has it held you back?
It felt like it did, but yeah, evidently not. Like making two features and a TV show since COVID started, that's not, I can't complain.
No. Thank you, COVID.
No,
I says that.
Yeah. And right at the beginning, I did an episode of Dynasty, and that was fun too. That's already come out though.
I saw that in the list. I haven't seen Dynasty, so I wasn't going to ask too much about it. Is that cool being on the revised version of an original classic?
It really was, because everybody knows what you're talking about, even though it wasn't a soap opera. But like the older people in my life are like, oh, neat, Dynasty. And I actually remember when in the 80s when people were watching Dynasty, like, I remember it being a thing. I wasn't allowed to watch it. I remember it being a thing.
Was it raunchy or something? I've never seen it. It's like a southern thing, right? Southern Millionaires or something?
No, that's Dallas. That's both. Yeah, I get.
No, you can correct me. I don't know either. We don't have growing up here.
Both Dynasty and Dallas. And I think they're both popular at the same time. We're both about southern millionaires.
Cool. Did you have to do an accent for that as well? Like, were you a southern belle?
No. Oh. No. Really sarcastic music manager that just didn't give a shit.
Do you have any, you've got to be in like a few things already. Do you have any of those, like those idols who you just, before your career ends at 100 or whatever, whenever you feel like stopping, have you got a handful of actresses or actors you just wish you could work with?
Oh my gosh, do I?
That was an original question, wasn't it?
No, but it's a good one because there's so many and like a whole bunch of them have died and I'm just like, I'll never get to work with that guy. Yeah, I would love to work with Tilda Swinton. I would love to work with Helena Bonham Carter. I would love to work with Ralph Fiennes. I think he's pretty great. Who else? There's a lot of actors that I've already worked with that I had so much fun working with that I want to work with again. Like I would love to work with Matt Berry again. That was a total blast. Yeah, good question. Actually, there's so many and I'm going to kick myself because I'm going to be thinking about, oh, I know I like that one even better. And I forgot and I didn't mention this.
Oh yeah, because they're probably listening and they're like, oh wow, I was going to give her a movie, but she didn't mention me. So not interested, I guess.
Oh, well.
No, that's cool. It sounds like you got a sort of a theme. You've got sort of like the more alternative sort of actresses, actors and all that sort of stuff. They're not known for like, you know, they're not just in the like romantic comedies. They're in the sort of ones where they're like, I'm playing Bellatrix Strange. Like, is that how you sort of want to treat yourself as an actress? Like you just want to go for those sort of roles that are, you know, not just the main, or will you just take any role? That was like 10 questions.
If you've seen my work, I'll take anything. Are you kidding?
Didn't think that.
Yeah, Naked Demon, sure. But people think that I'm a horror fan. I am. I like some horror, but I'm not like a huge horror fan where I just like everything that's horrible and disgusting. And people send me the most disgusting images and I'll just be like, I'll click on it and I'll just be like absolutely horrified. And I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Oh, that's so weird.
This extremely messed up thing.
Like, because you were in a horror movie, they think they can impress you by giving you like, hey, here's a dead body from the train tracks. You're like, why would I want that?
Like, sometimes it's like actual footage, you know, of something real. And I'm just like, no.
Has this ever worked on a girl in your life?
I go with a different angle, buddy.
Public, do you get harassed much? Stuff like that?
I've had a few freaky people that it did bother me a little bit, but mostly people are just really respectful and great. I had to block a few people. You know, it's just fascinating how widespread that VHS, because that's the one that I'm recognized from. But I'm not recognized from any of the other ones. My husband and I, we like to travel a lot, and it's just all over the world people be coming up to me. I get fan mail in different languages, which is really neat, because some of them translate, are obviously from Google Translate, so they just like say accidentally the most poetic shit. Like, I'm not really sure what they were really going for. There was this one that I got from Russia that I'll never forget, and this guy was like, your eyes are like lakes, but I'm not drowned in nearly. And I'm like, that's kind of poetic, man.
Yeah. Yeah, did you want to mention anything else you got coming up, or anything, your own stuff, websites, anything like that? Do you want to give yourself a promotion, tell people to watch anything before we finish?
Sure, yeah.
I haven't got good at asking that yet.
I thought that was really eloquent.
Thanks.
yeah, you can check out my site. It's hannahfearman.com. A friend of mine just updated it and made it so much better. It used to be so bad. I'm on Twitter, but I don't really tweet very much, but I'm on Twitter. It's Hannah Rose Firm, because I think I'd made an account with my full name before and then just forgot about it and forgot the password. So then I didn't use my full name anymore. And I'm on Instagram, just Hannah Fearman. And yeah, and I'm on Facebook too. Yeah. And if you want to check out the Time's Up site or Facebook site, I think they might still be doing an Indiegogo. There's a lot of giveaways and swag and stuff on there too. I think they're still doing the Indiegogo.
Cool.
That'll be a good movie. I really love that script. So I think you'll enjoy it.
So it's called Time's Up.
Yeah. It's a real bloody slasher. Yeah, it's good.
Sounds awesome. They're the best kinds. Lots of killing, lots of blood. That's what we like to watch.
Lots of action.
So, well, thank you so much for coming on the Creepy Crap Podcast, Australia's favorite horror podcast. We've got Hannah Fearman. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Daniel.
If you've liked what you've heard today and want to reach out to the Creepy Crap Podcast, here's how you can do it. You can reach me at Twitter at Creepy Crap Pod. That's Creepy Crap Pod on Twitter. Or you can check out the podcast-related videos on YouTube at Creepy Crap Podcast. Subscribe to the channel on there. Creepy Crap Podcast is also on Facebook. You can follow the page on there like that. Or you could get the personal page, Daniel Crapstar. That's Facebook, Creepy Crap Podcast, or Daniel Crapstar. And for the main home of the podcast, you can follow on Instagram at the Creepy Crap Podcast. You can send a message there, talk about a collaboration, suggest a movie, talk about promos, any of that good stuff. That's the Creepy Crap Podcast on Instagram. And if you want to suggest the podcast to someone else, you can get me on all the major podcast platforms. That's right, that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, all of them. You can go on there, you can rate, leave a review, like, follow, all that good stuff, download some episodes. That's on all the major podcast platforms. That's where you can listen or follow the Creepy Crap Podcast. Okay, so that was guest episode number 7, Hannah Fearman of season 2 of the Creepy Crap Podcast, Australia's favourite horror podcast. And to finish off the episode, like always, we've got a musical guest, and today we've got DK0 with their track, Turn Up the Hate! Turn Up the Hate from DK0. And you want to know who DK0 is? Well, listen up, because I'm going to tell you all about him. So this is from their bio. It's not my words, it's theirs. So this is what they want you to know about them. So here we go. Sit down and have a little listen, because here we go. DK0 is the brain-loved child of Seattle musician and bassist D-Punk and Welsh-born steampunk fashion icon, TV personality and erotic model Kato. In late 2015, the duo began a collaboration to write and record music that had the energy of some of their favorite artists from the late 90s and early 2000s industrial rock scene. Blending cyber, EDM, breakbeats and hip-hop with hard-hitting old-school industrial rock, the duo exploded on the scene in 2018 with their debut album From Nothing. The world press named DK0 one of the top bands to follow in 2019 in their cyber-heavy breakout single I Field, followed up by their epic wasteland battle call Turn Up the Hate, which is today's episode song, by the way, made serious waves in the goth industrial scene worldwide. That's who DK0 is. And watch the YouTube episode of this as well, video episode 3, because DK0 is on the end. It's the music video, and it's like basically a gothic version of Mad Max. It's fucking awesome, so check that out. Guest episode number 7 of the Creepy Crap Podcast with Hannah Fearman. This is the Creepy Crap Podcast, your host Daniel Craig, which is me, Australia's favourite horror podcast. Thank you for listening, everyone, and this is Turn Up the Hate to play us out. Hope you like it, and I'll catch you on the next one.
Please slay my demons, cultivate, drown out the love, and turn up the hate, hate, hate.
Turn up the hate! escape, I gotta feel okay.
When it's late, my demons cultivate, drown out the love and turn up the hate.